section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting one show at a time.
WWE Network news, a champion returns, and Buff Bagwell news. All this and much, much more in this week's Off the Mark.
TNA Impact referee Brian Hebner, and you're listening to Off the Mark.
86 Productions.
Episode of Off the Mark. We are the podcast that provides the most in-depth insight and analysis into the world of professional wrestling. I am Andrew. He is Aaron. Let's get right into the news. So Rusev is out for at least 1 month with a bicep injury. Now, do you think this is legit or is this a storyline or what do you think's going on?
Oh, no. It's legit. He did injure his arm on SmackDown. I think it was last week or the week before. And he's going to be out now, they say, for at least a month, which in my opinion is actually a really good thing for him because I think that his character had gotten a little stale and he had fallen into that mid-card trap where he would lose really random matches. And he was a guy who was running through that roster. His first loss ever came to John Cena at WrestleMania. I mean, think about that. That's his first loss ever. And then since then, he's been losing to a lot of regular people, you know, and not that I think it's a bad idea to lose. But, you know, if you're building him up as this unstoppable monster, then all of a sudden you have him lose a bunch of matches. This is good for him to get off TV, repackage him, have him come back with Lana and have a new storyline going forward.
And I completely agree. I think this is the best thing that could happen. Well, I guess that is the best thing that could happen. So the one thing that's really is actually sad right now is that Randy Orton is going to be out up to 6 months with a shoulder injury. And he got that by taking the trash out, which is interesting. So,
well, that's what some reports are saying. I don't know if that's necessarily the case.
Well, it was pretty much he had the injury and just taking something, just a bag of trash out, just made it worse. And he could have done anything. It could have been carrying his gym bag. It would have probably done the same thing. So yeah. I think it's funny we could say that, hey, this is what happened just by carrying out a 2 pound.
Well, that's the thing there. You know, the dirt sheets are saying he was taking out the trash, you know, but no, the reason why this is such a big deal is, you know, this is one of the top five people in the company and he's going to be out now 6 more months. And, you know, that's going to be really upsetting since, you know, they need to have a program with him and he could have had a really good program with, you know, some up and coming heels. Not that there are really many, but, you know, that's something that they could have gone down. So I'm going to be excited for his return. Maybe they would line him back with the Authority. Who knows?
I think they should. That's probably the best thing you could do right now, or even align Sheamus with the Authority. But you know, I really hope Orton comes back. I know 6 months seems like it's a long time. I mean, that means he'd miss WrestleMania. So I believe that he'll be back right around WrestleMania time. I think probably the biggest news that in the 20 months that the WWE Network has been out, they've had 2.3 million unique subscribers during that time. Right now, they currently have 1.2 million subscribed, which is, I think, a decent number, realistically. What are your thoughts so far on this number?
The 1.2 is actually a lot lower than what I would like it to be. We had talked last week, right before the numbers came out, we released the show and we were talking about what the potential numbers might be and what it could mean. And I was a little underwhelmed by it. In fact, Wall Street was a little underwhelmed by it too, because the stock dropped dramatically after the announcement. And I rightfully so, you know, I think that it should have dropped. 1.2 seems like a lot. But when it's been out for 20 months, in my opinion, it should probably be closer to 1.5. Like a 1.4 would have been okay with me. I was happy to see the 2.3 million uniques. That says that a lot of people had signed up for it. But it also says the retention rate isn't that good. But I also think that probably, I would say maybe 300,000 of those 2.3 are probably people resubscribing for the free month under a different name, under a different, you know, email address, that sort of thing. I could see that happening. So even so, if you have 800,000 people in 20 months unsubscribe to the network, that says that maybe that it's not necessarily for them. So they need to do some promotions. They need to get people involved. They need to get longer contracts. I think, you know, UFC does one where if you prepay 12 months at like $8 a month, then you can have it for that price. And I would gladly do that, you know, because it's basically like paying for, you know, 10 months and getting two free. So I would gladly do that if WWE offered that. And I think that they should.
And the one thing I will say I do like that they did this is that you can actually get your friends WWE Network. Basically, you can give them a $10 thing at Walmart. And you can also go, 3 months with them, too. So if you're doing Christmas stuff, you could say, hey, I want to get John Doe a 3-month subscription to the WWE Network because I think that he would utilize that better than a ugly sweater that he'll wear once, every a decade. At least he would get more enjoyment out of the WWE Network. So I think that part, what they're doing, is a good step in the right direction, because I saw it at Walmart and I was like, oh, wow, there's the WWE logo. I'm going to check it out because of that. Not really. I didn't really see it, but like, I'm pretty sure I will see it next time I go. I'll be like,
well, hey, there might be deals on that, too. Sometimes some places will do, buy one, gift card, get one for 25% off or something like that. Like I bought eBay gift cards at my local grocery store that were $5 cheaper per card. So I got 25 for 20, that sort of thing. You might get that then for WWE Network. And I gladly would buy that if I saw a 3-month card for the price of 2 months. Yeah. I would definitely buy like 6 of those easily.
Exactly. And I would probably say, oh, here's Christmas gift. There you go. But yeah, I do like the fact that they're going that direction. I think that'll help out with the subscribers. I bet you may get probably 50,000 more just because of that. But I could be off, too. You could get less. I just hope they're doing a lot of stuff in the right direction. I do like Breaking Ground. I think that series is great. I think Table for Three, I think it's great as well. I think they're going in the right direction. So the network, I think, will be a big deal here, basically from here on out. And I really hope that they're getting the attention of cable and also satellite providers saying, hey, we want to put a channel out that's live the entire time. Do it. Because I would still pay. If they said it was $5 more, I would do it. So anyways, let's talk about some WWE program for this week. Del Rio was, it's interesting because he's not talking that much. He's having Zeb do all the talking. I thought it was interesting that Jack Swagger came in. He made it, an appearance because, what has he been doing? But I did like the fact that there was something said. He's like, they're going to be doing something, but what? Like, I don't get this character that they're rolling with. What do you think?
So you mentioned Jack Swagger. And we should bring up the fact that it looks like they're going to be having a match sometime soon, which I think is great because Swagger, look, I'm not a big Swagger fan. I'm not. I think that he is a very lower mid-card guy who is there to help get other people over. But I like seeing him back on Raw, not full term, but I think having him on for a 4-week span would be totally fine. And then have him go back to main event and, or have him go to NXT or something. But ADR, Alberto Del Rio, his character, it's interesting. They're not going with the Mexican aristocrat, which they have typically gone with for him. And instead, they're going for more of a immigration one. It's really weird. They're trying to bridge Mexico and America, and they're trying to do it in states that are very sensitive to the immigration issue, it seems. And so I don't quite get what they're going for. I really don't. It's a very weird character development for him. And I really hope that they flesh it out sometime soon. This could go either way, to be quite honest. I think that it could be something really great, but knowing WWE, it's probably going to be something that is half racist and half terrible, which is, I guess, 100% terrible.
Right. Yeah. You pretty much said it all. But I do like the fact that I saw Jack Swagger because I haven't seen him in a while. And looks like he has a tattoo on his forearm. So good job. Anyway, so the Usos return. So, of course, they were one. Is it Jimmy that was out for a while? I always get him confused.
Yeah, I do too. One of them was out for a long time. And they made their return in the Survivor Series match that they had on Raw, which was... it was cool to see him return, and I was like, whoa, I did not expect that. But why would you have a 5-on-5 match on Raw? Survivor Series is coming up. Shouldn't you have that on Survivor Series? But let's talk about the Usos. Andy, are you glad to see them back?
Yes, I am. I'm glad to see them back, but I think I was surprised that they came back now because I was expecting the Dudleys to make their return, and they didn't. So that's why I was really confused by this. I was like, what the heck's going on here? But yeah, I don't know, dude. I mean, I'm glad they came back.
What would you do with the Usos? Where do you interject them? Do you put them straight into the tag team picture?
You'd almost have to put them right into the tag team picture, and there's no way to get around that. Because they came back, they got a lot of hype, but I thought them being in this match was a mistake. I believe they should have gone ahead and put the Dudleys in it. If you do the Dudleys, then you know that's what's going to happen. But I'm surprised they were not utilized.
Do we need another Dudley's New Day match?
No, but I was surprised that it wasn't them that were in the match. I was very shocked about that.
Well, isn't it good that they shock you every now and then?
It's good to get shocked, but I think this was a bad shock because I was like, oh, sweet, they're back, but...
Why? So you don't want the Usos to be back?
No, I want them to be back. I just thought there was a bad time because I thought you put the Dudleys at least. Because you want the Usos to come back, but you want them to come back and be like, wow, there's the Usos. I'm so happy about it. But this, I just thought that they missed it here. I really think they missed it here.
I disagree with you. I think that they came back to a really great fanfare. I think it's a good time to bring them back. You had the New Day there, and you have the ability now to move them into that tag team match. I would not have the Usos win. I don't know if I would have them win at all, to be quite honest, but I think that you continue with the train that the New Day has been running on. You keep that going. You don't stop it, and you have the Usos be the underdog, and maybe at WrestleMania you have them win. You know, maybe that's when you take the titles off New Day. But I'm glad to have the Usos back because that tag division needed them. Because when you have the Lucha Dragons beating King Barrett and Sheamus, your Money in the Bank winner, there's issues there because you have to try to put the Lucha Dragons over. They're taking on King Barrett.
Okay, I get that. I get that part of it. Man, this is tough. I guess I wish that they would bring someone up from NXT, maybe move someone, but whatever. I'm curious about this. Like, so Dolph Ziggler signs a new contract, so he's with the WWE, but then he gets put in these weird feuds, and now he's going to be putting over Tyler Breeze. Why? Why bring Tyler Breeze and have him go against Ziggler? Have him go against, you know, Swagger or something like that, but... I don't like the feud that's going on right now with Tyler Breeze. I think that they are missing the boat here, and I think it's going to end up hurting them.
I disagree with you, and here's why. I actually think it's really great because you had Summer Rae. Look, the Lana, Summer Rae, Ziggler, Rusev thing got split up, and it got all sorts of messed up because of real life stuff. You couldn't have Summer go back with Dolph since Dolph is a face. And you had to pair her with somebody else. And bringing up Tyler, I think, was actually a really good call. You bring up Tyler, he goes with Summer, and now Dolph and Tyler have a common friction. They have something that is going to cause a rift between those two. And so you have Breeze come out, and he attacks Dolph. You know, they do the typical beatdown stuff. And I actually really like the fact that they haven't had a match, that they're probably going to have their match at Survivor Series. I think that's great because I really hate the fact that they give away so many matches before the actual pay-per-view. You know, get me excited because this is a match I have never seen before. Give it to me on a pay-per-view. So I like that. I like the fact that they have brought him up and they've put him into a mid-card feud. So they're saying that this guy is important. They're not putting him straight to the top. They're not putting him at the very bottom and working his way up. They put him in the middle and he could go up or even slightly down. And it wouldn't be a big deal. So I disagree. I'm glad that they've brought Tyler Breeze up, and I like the direction.
I had something, but now I can't think of it. I actually had something I could throw at you, and you'd be like, oh, you're right, Andy. Of course you're right. But I forgot it.
Okay, I want to hear it.
I forgot already.
Oh, sure.
I was going to point out someone else, but I can't remember the person. The Bunny? Oh. Hey, should we talk about the Bunny returning with Adam Rose? No? Yes, no? Maybe so.
Justin Gabriel's back?
No. Yeah. Oh. No, but what I was going to say is that I thought that the Survivor Series is a good time because with Tyler Breeze, what they should have done is have them go at it, but then have them in Survivor Series matches. You know, have four Survivor Series matches And, you know, five on five. Oh,
that is what you want, 4 5-on-5 matches.
Oh, we can say three. We'll just say three. All right. 25 minutes each. And then at the end, all of them get together, because then you could have feuds start and also possibly not end, but start. So then the next pay-per-view, hey, these guys are going to be feuding for a while. I think they could have done that, especially with Ziggler and Breeze. Because Ziggler and Breeze could be on different teams.
I don't know the last time that they've had three, even. I think that they do one a year. At most, they do two a year.
Even if they did two, and they had it so you were setting up feuds, because you could have, again, Ryback versus Owens, but they're not fighting for the title, but you could have them on the team, and then, you know, somehow work it out where, I don't know, both guys look good. I mean, there's a way to do it. There's a formula, but no one's been doing it.
Let me ask you this.
Okay.
Could you even create a card that has 20 people? Because it's 2 5-on-5 matches. That's 20 people. So you have to have, theoretically, you have 8 matches. 2 of those matches have 20 people in them.
Well,
so that means
you have a third match as well. Because the survivors.
So, okay. So you want to book whoever survives goes into what, a battle royal? And then the winner gets like a title shot or something.
You can do something like that. Yeah, let's just say that.
All right. So you're going to have, let's just say we have 8 people survive for whatever reason, you know, 8 people survive out of the 20, and you're going to have an 8-person battle royal. You're also going to have 20 people in a match, and you have to fill out the rest though too, dude. I mean, I can't even think of 20 people on the roster. Honestly, I can't think of 20 people on the roster who are actually main players and not like, you know.
Oh, I was going to say, I could think of a bunch of them, but
I mean, obviously
nobodies.
I can do NXT people or people that maybe are on main event. You know, Damian Sandow's in there, but you know, we haven't seen him really on TV. So
nope, just Dark Masters, which stinks.
Yeah. So I disagree. I think you do one Survivor Series match, and then the rest you have normal feuds. And I think that Dolph Ziggler's feud with Tyler Breeze, I think has been, you know, I think that's been pretty good. I think Owens, you see him potentially moving on to some other feuds. It looks like they've kind of broken him away from Ryback and he's going somewhere else. Potentially. I don't know. They might pull him back in, but I think that there's a lot of options, for the actual Survivor Series match.
All right. But here's the other thing that I don't understand. They are pushing the fact that it's Undertaker. It's the 25th anniversary. Undertaker this, Undertaker that. Now, granted, I do fast forward through a lot of Raw, but I actually watched this last Raw. So I spent over, it was 2 hours and like 17 minutes without commercials. I never heard once them say that Undertaker is going to appear. And I haven't heard anything about the fact that last year Sting appeared either. Why aren't they mentioning this stuff?
So they are. It is kind of interesting what they are choosing to do with Survivor Series. They're really pushing Undertaker. Undertaker is going to have a match probably. And the rumor right now is there'll be Undertaker and Kane versus the Wyatt. So won't be a traditional 5-on-5, but I think it'll be a 4-on-4 type match. And I don't know who they're going to have if they go that route, you know, if they decide to go that route. A rumor that they've been throwing around is Sting. You know, there was a talk about potentially Randy Orton before he got injured. So let me ask you, let's just say they are going that route. It's going to be 4-on-4, Kane and Undertaker versus the Wyatts. Who are the other two people that you put in that match?
Undertaker, Kane, Sting. Is TNA done yet? We can bring Jeff Hardy in. Well, I think you'd always have to bring someone from like NXT, some type of shock value, because I don't think you can just have a person, you know, that's on the main roster now. I think you have to bring someone fresh in. But bring someone from NXT, great. I always like to say AJ Styles. I know it's not him. But I think if you were to bring someone like Finn Balor in and have him come as the Demon, I think the crowd would go nuts. I really believe that.
But what feud does he have with the Wyatts? Because that's the thing. You got to think.
Oh, yeah. That's
good. You have to bring somebody in who is feuding with the Wyatts.
Well, if the Wyatts, there's 4 of them, right? You could almost bring a 5th one in. You can't bring Samoa Joe in because that's not going to make sense.
Who has a feud with the Wyatts? Who has?
Dean Ambrose has had one, which has ended. Roman Reigns, his has ended. Am I missing? There's someone I'm missing. Who is it?
So here is the potential opportunities that, you know, Wyatt, his first feud was with Kane, right? He had a feud with Cena. I think that the other few, I think that it'll probably be, one will be Ambrose, because I think that if Undertaker is with Ambrose, that'll help Ambrose's stock skyrocket. I think the other one would be Jericho. I think Jericho comes back because he had a feud with Wyatt. Jericho comes back and they go that route.
But do you have Jericho turn? Because remember, they got, when Jericho left, he basically told Ambrose and Reigns to kiss his butt.
That is an opportunity there. I think that if you had Jericho and Ambrose, you could potentially have Jericho and Ambrose have some friction. It could lead to a Royal Rumble match or even to a match at WrestleMania. That's the route that I would go.
That, you know, that's probably one of the best questions you've asked me with this, because I don't really have a good answer. Because I could say, oh, like you said, we can bring someone from NXT for shock value, but then it doesn't make sense. Because if you say that, hey, I'm going to bring Finn and I'm going to bring Samoa Joe, what's the point of Samoa Joe teaming up with the Wyatts? He has no beef with them. So yeah, you can't bring anyone from NXT. You can, it has to be someone like Sting. You have to have like someone like Sting and Ambrose and Jericho. Or even if it's just a 4-on-4, but I think they should go 5-on-5, but who's going to team with the Wyatts?
That's why I think it'll be a 4-on-4.
Because you know what they're going to do? I'll just tell you now. They're going to throw Kevin Owens with him and put Ryback on the other team.
That would make no sense at all.
It would make no sense, but you know what? They're probably going to do that. Or maybe they'll grab Jack Swagger. You never know. I was almost right there. But yeah, so this is going to be pretty interesting to see how it plays out. But I'm looking forward to, you know, Survivor Series just what, 2 weeks away now. I'm looking forward to it. And then we have like, what, another pay-per-view 3 weeks later? And then we're done for like 8 weeks, which is going to be weird. Of course, it can't be on this Sunday, you know, because, you know, the Bears play on Monday. It'll be kind of nice, but whatever. Anyways, so let's thank our sponsor, HostGator. Are you a blogger or a podcaster, or are you just not happy with your web host? You need to check out HostGator.com. You're going to find web hosting made easy and affordable. HostGator offers unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click script installs with the free site builder and hands on the best control panel out there. Stop by today and try a free demo to see how easy it is. And if you use a special coupon code off the mark, you're going to save 25% off your web hosting packages. So what do you all lose? Check out HostGator.com and take a bite out of your web hosting costs. Also, make sure you check out Section 86's Off the Mark page and click on the banner at the top to say big on irsmwshop.com. So, Aaron, I have no idea why you want to talk about Buff Bagwell, so I'd love to hear this one.
I was thinking that TNA has their, world heavyweight series thing going on. To be honest, there's not a whole lot to talk about there, you know, because it's just points and everything. So Buff Bagwell, he was on Cole Cabana's podcast. It was probably 3-4 months ago now. And then most recently, he was on Stone Cold's podcast over the past 2 weeks. And I enjoyed Buff Bagwell's WCW run. I enjoyed him with Vicious and Delicious. I thought that was kind of cool, you know, when he was with Scott Norton. I liked him with Big Papa Pump. I thought that was kind of cool too. When he got injured by Rick Steiner, that I wasn't on the dirt sheets back then. And you know, it was kind of a simpler time. So when he was attacked by Hogan when he was in the wheelchair, I was legitimately like, no. Is this even real? Like, what is going on here? You know, like, I didn't know what was going on because he had just got his neck broken by Rick Steiner. And I thought that he was just never wrestling again. And to see that stuff happen, I was just like blown away by it. I actually liked his WCW run. I thought it was fine, you know, and he is, when I think WCW, he's one of the 10, 20 people that come up that I think about. But he had said some, he's had a very interesting life. So Andy, I want to ask you, I gave you a little reminiscence. I don't want to go off on a too long of a tangent on my side. So what do you remember the most about Buff Bagwell?
The injury that Rick gave him, of course. The infamous fight that he had with Mr. Gregory Helms. But also, like, as a performer, I remember Judy Bagwell, of course. Because how could you not remember Judy Bagwell? But I thought it was okay. Like, it wasn't like a, like, he was good, but he wasn't like a, oh my gosh, like, he is the main guy. He's main eventing tonight. I gotta watch Nitro. It's more like, why is he main eventing? So, you know, Marcus Bagwell, great. you know, he's there. He's done a lot. But WCW, it was nice to see him there because, you're right. 20 guys, I would say Buff Bagwell. I would definitely, he'd be more like in the teens. But yeah, I would say his name. Of course, with Scott Norton, I thought that was awesome. It was Buff and he's the stuff. Is that right?
Yeah.
Is that what it was?
Well, it was Vicious and Delicious.
Vicious and Delicious. Okay.
Yeah. So he said some things. Look, every time I hear him talk, I believe probably 20% of what he says. I think that there's some truths to the thing that he has said. And the rest of it, I think he just is trying to make it sound cool. He's not telling the whole truth. He's only telling partial truths. And he actually has a documentary coming out that we are going to view, hopefully, before the end of the year. And, we'll talk about it on here, maybe. But he talked about a time that him and his dad got into an argument, and he shot his dad. And that could have happened. Who knows? But the way he tells the story, it makes it sound like that didn't happen. But the more interesting thing is what happened at the end of his run with WWF. So he came in, and him and Booker T had a match in Tacoma, Washington. And the next Raw was in Atlanta, Georgia, which is his backyard, right? So it would have made more sense to have it there. But Andy, you had mentioned the main reason why they had it in Tacoma and not in Atlanta. And what is that reason?
Because they wanted to bury WCW. And of course, Vince is a smart businessman. So what's the best thing to do? You just bury them. That's it.
Having that match in Tacoma made them look stupid because that was WWF country. They do it in Atlanta. Different story. Very different story. These people are getting cheered like they are the next Stone Cold Steve Austin. And so it makes very, very perfect sense why that happened. Now, there are some things that maybe happened behind the scenes with Jim Ross and Buff Bagwell. Like maybe Jim Ross really hated Buff Bagwell, had it out for him. But from the sounds of it is that Buff had a big ego and he requested very special accommodations. Like he was the top guy in WCW, which he wasn't. He wasn't even the top 10 for WCW. And he was requesting accommodations like he was Hulk Hogan. And because of that, WWF decided to let him go. Now, Andy, in your opinion, do you think WWF would have been better off to have Buff Bagwell in with WCW for, that year run?
I don't know. I think that Buff should have just never been in the WWF. But I figured that, hey, why don't you take a guy who is a B-plus player and bring him over and have him wrestle Booker T, who is a champion, who is your U.S. champion and your world champion, and you have him go at it at on a main event of Raw, but you do it, of course, in Tacoma, and no one cares because it's Buff Bagwell. It could have been anyone pretty much in WCW, anyone in the top 10. If it was Booker T and DDP, oh my gosh, that would have been
absolutely
awesome match. It doesn't matter then if they're going to be in Atlanta because they could have done Raw. They could have wrestled again in Atlanta, but they, of course, didn't. But yeah, so I think that would have been a bigger match, and I think that would have helped WCW. But realistically, we talked about this the other day. I said, I believe the real reason why they did it that way is because they wanted to bury WCW. What's the best way to do it? Saying that, hey, we're better than WCW is to show we're going to take a guy that they made that was made in WCW. Because no one talks about Booker T. Everyone talks about Goldberg. You know, no one talks about DDP. But realistically, DDP and Booker T were made in WCW. It wasn't just Goldberg. There's other guys besides that. Shane Helms is another one I still believe was made. Anyways, they basically take the guy that no one cared. No one cared about Buff Bagwell. The only reason that most people remember him is because of his mom and that Rick Steiner broke his neck. Mm-hmm. That's pretty much it. So there you go, Buff Bagwell. I mean, I will say I'd like the Blockbuster. I've always liked that move. It's a simple move, but that's the best. That's the best.
It is a very simple move, and I agree. I've always liked that too. His character was, he played that part well. It was meant to be kind of annoying, a little obnoxious, and, actually almost like The Miz, to be quite honest. That's pretty much what his character was. And he played that well. He really did. But he was, I wouldn't even say B-plus player. Like, I would say, like, B-minus to C-plus was Buff Bagwell to me in WCW. And I think that he should not have been in WWF. I agree with you. I think that his addition was terrible and that you were 100% right. Booker T, DDP, main event, They would have done a very good job. It would have looked like a WWF match, and it would have got booed because it was in Tacoma. But then you might have seen sparks of something else in there. And that's the issue that I think some people had. I think that they really made a big mistake, a very tactical error by having that. I understand that they were trying to bury them, but I don't think that they did a very good job. I really don't. And Buff Bagwell, I'm glad that he's still around, but I would highly recommend to, if you listen to any of his stuff, listen to it with a grain of salt, because it none of it sounds true, you know, and the parts that are true are so, like, it's a minefield of lies. It really is. So anyway, Buff Bagwell's got a documentary out if you want to see it.
Yeah. The other thing I want to point out real quick about that is that Buff Bagwell, he made a big deal about him and Shane Helms had an altercation, and Shane Helms, like, when they interviewed him, he was like, yeah, it happened, blah, blah. And he said what happened. That was about it. And it was like, he said like 15 seconds of it. Buff Bagwell on his VHS, by the way, I still have the VHS that I bought of a shoot interview. When he did a shoot interview, there's probably 5 to 10 minutes where he talked about the situation, and realistically, whatever. I think Helms did throw a dig at him, something about like, I think he faked an injury from the APA, if I'm correct. So, and then the ironic thing is also after him and Booker T wrestled on Raw, when they went to Atlanta, Georgia, he arrived late and they fired him. So I thought that I always got a kick out of that, but you know, I do feel bad for him. If you want to see him in a show on Showtime, he's on that too. But, if you guys have any thoughts on Buff Bagwell, I'd love to hear him actually. But yeah, whatever he says, it's, you know, maybe 20%. I'd almost go as far as 10%. It's true. And I don't believe that he's lying. It's just that he's almost like Scott Steiner, but he doesn't have the fame of Scott Steiner, if that makes sense. Where Scott Steiner is in his own world. And then Buff Bagwell tries to be in his own world, but he's delusional, realizing that, yeah, you were never a real champion. I think you might have had the TV title and the tag teams, and that was it. So
I think only had the tag team in WCW.
Oh, with Buff. That's right.
It was, I believe, with Scotty Riggs when they were the American Males. I think was the only time he had. I don't think he had it with Scott.
I got it right here. He was actually his most famous award is from the Wrestling Observer. He was the most embarrassing wrestler in 2001. He got the Rookie of the Year, but he's actually had the tag team gold 5 times. That was his only championship he had in WCW. He had it with Too Cold Scorpio, the Patriot, twice, and then with Scotty Riggs, and then with Shane Douglas.
Oh yeah, that's right.
So I thought he had it with Norton, but apparently he didn't. Wow, I could have sworn he had it with him. Well, yeah, whatever. But yeah, so if you guys check it out, let us know. We'd love to hear. We'd love to hear about it. Believe me. But there you go. That's Buff Bagwell. That's all you really can say about him. Any last words on Buff?
No, I'm done with Buff.
All right, so that's all the time we have for this week's show. If you're into the Twitter, you can follow the show at AlthaMark86. I want to thank 86 Productions for hosting and editing the podcast. And I want to thank all of our listeners for taking the time to download and listen to the show. And for Aaron Hughes, I am Andrew Hughes. And until next time, we'll see you in the ring.